The reading today is Psalm 3. It's called Save Me, Oh My God. It's a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Great to be with you here this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Sam, and I'm one of the speakers here in the All Saints team. For the last 3.5 years, we are enjoying this journey, being with All Saints. It's been a fascinating time, getting healing, being blessed with a great community. Actually, look around people in our community here. There's some really smart, talented people. There's some professors, there's some lecturers, some teachers, all sorts of profession. And it's amazing that we belong to this one God. You know, we worship this God who created us. And so if you're new to this church and if you're looking for a church, don't look around. This is the place to be. Can I tell you that? So we are welcome this morning. By the way, before I continue, 50 million last night. I was in New World and my wife called me and she politely declined. I said, what about if I stand in the line? And she said, no, we need to trust in God. What if I win a lottery? And I said to her, we can just quietly enjoy whatever we get. But she said, no, that's not how we do it. I said, I walked away and I came home. So the question I want to ask as we go into Psalms 3 is, who are we? When I ask you the question, who are we? What is the response that comes to you in your mind? We are disciples following Jesus. We are a community forming communities, and we are on a mission. We are transforming cities. And as we began last week, as God's missional people, we began last week to journey through this book of Psalms. And I think as we span through this whole 8.5 or even 9 or 10 weeks on the whole of Psalms, I think it will give you a better understanding of what's God calling us to. There are some real good challenges that we have. There are some fascinating things that happen, being joy, being happy. But there are some moments in our life when we'll find ourselves being right down, being weak, being struck down by circumstances, but from stuff that happens in our life. So the Psalms has got 150 chapters. That's a lot of chapters. Mostly written by King David, but there's also other authors who have written it as well. And as Chris started us fantastically last week, he talked about the first two chapters in Psalms 1. Psalms 1 talks about the two different ways, the ways of the wise and then the ways of the wicked. And then Psalms 2, it talks about God's rule and reign over a rebellious, a sinful world. And today we're going to look at Psalms chapter 3. And as Mike read, there's only 8 verses, so just 1 minute, you're done. But there is so much in that first 2 verses that I want to delve with that we can go through this and understand what the Psalms is all about. In Psalms chapter 3, scholars say that this is a psalm of lament. It means it's usually read in the morning. What does lament mean? A lament means it's a passionate expression of a grief and sorrow that you and me go through. Before I go into the Psalms verse by verse and just going through the topics, I want to make it clear for us is that sometimes we have this thought is we have grief and sorrow in our lives because we have lack of faith. I think there is some wrong teaching that teachers and preachers have brought into the church is that there is this myth that we Christians are always supposed to be happy. And they take this one word, is that rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. They take this one verse and they just amplify it and make it, that's all about Christianity. In fact, you and me know that we live in this broken world. We live in this sinful world, and because of that, we will experience joy, but there will be many times that you and me will go through tough times. We'll have pain. We'll have what the Bible talks about, hardships. We'll have challenges in our life. In fact, when we really deny it, we're really denying life itself. So as we go through the Psalms, I want us to understand is that this psalm is about a lament. It's about a pain. It's about a hardship that David is going through. And in fact, out of the 150 psalms, 50 of them are about lament. So one third of the 150 psalms is all about the grief and the sorrow that people are going through. And sometimes it's about a prayer of David himself, who's an individual person, but sometimes it's about a group of prayer, group of believers that are crying, that are lamenting. And so what does that tell me is that if God has included so much of these psalms, of these chapters in this Bible, it tells me that that it is a profound gift for those of us as with deep faith, that who experience suffering every day, that as we seek to walk faithfully as God's missional people, God says, I want to walk with you through this grief. I want to walk with you through this pain. Before I go into Psalms chapter 3, the first verse, we need to understand where we finished in Psalms chapter 2. So Psalms chapter 2, this is the last word. I want to read it, the line. It says, blessed are all who take refuge in him. It ends in this, Psalms chapter 2 ends in the state of happiness. Is this high note that that David is saying, the blessed are all who took refuge in God. In fact, as we move into Psalms 3, the first verse is, Lord, that state of happiness is gone. The joy is gone. In fact, it's a sad episode. And it's only afterwards when I picked the Psalms. I only picked the Psalms is because of my wife doing other things along the other weeks. And I said, I'll pick the Psalms. It's easy. And I realized, oh, this is not an easy one to speak. But here I am, nowhere turning back. And so the state of happiness is gone. It's a sad episode for David here in Psalms chapter 3. The context here is that if you go back home, please read 2 Samuel from chapter 15 to 18. Even the title, it says it's a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Now, this is what Absalom, his very own son, what he did is he would get up early in the morning and he would stand before the city gate as the people of Israel came and they will bring their complaints to him. He would say, hang on, come here. What is your complaint? This is my complaint. And then he would respond to them, cool, if only I was the king, if only I was the representative of the king, I would hear your complaint. You know, I'll make it right for you. I'm really sorry. There is no one to hear your complaint. So what he did really is that everybody that came, he really, the Bible says, he turned their hearts towards him. All of Israel, as they brought their petition, as brought their request, the Bible says is that he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. And so David's officials came and told him is that, David, all your people who belong to you, their hearts are not towards you. Their hearts are towards the Absalom, your son. So David gathers a few officials and he starts running away from his son. He knows that his son is coming after him. And so that's the whole context of this chapter 3, is that Absalom, his son, is coming after him. And so his first verse, he says, Lord, how many are my foes? It means how many are my enemies? And he says, how many rise up against me? Just notice the repetition in this chapter. Many, many, many. There is such a drastic change from chapter 2 to chapter 3. Is that the man who's a king, who's an authority, who's got power, all of a sudden, he's hiding. In fact, I can say this, that he's so scared of his life that he doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, research says is that whenever you're scared, there is this middle part of the brain that's called amygdala. It affects so much is that it sends a signal to the neurons in your brain, in your body, and your body is revving up for something that it's not expecting. Fear cripples a person. Fear makes you do things that you don't want to do. It almost forks your brain. And it says, his heart is beating fast. His breathing is heavy. Have you been in a situation like that? You can understand. You may have been in the past. It's your heart is beating fast. You're breathing fast because you don't know what to do. And that is fear. Fear has taken over this very own man. He's a king, but fear has taken control of him. In fact, he's so fearful that now the Bible says is that he doesn't even know how many people are around him. He says, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. In fact, he's gone into the state of fear, but in fact, he's gone even worse that now he's depressed. You know when sometimes you're in depression, you only know this very well, is that it almost seems like all the voices are shut down except the voice of the people who hurt you. It's like the voice of them are turned up. So all David hears is the voices of the enemy saying, is it the God you worship? He's not going to help you. He's not going to save you. It's the negative voices that are going on in his brain. In fact, can I move even more deeper that he's not even fearful. He's not fearful. He's not depressed, but even he feels this betrayal within him. His very own son. How dare his very own son, the one who he raised him, the one who he taught. There is a common saying that hurting people hurt people. And that's literally what is happening. But the good thing is that we have verse 3. It says, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. There is such a sudden change from this fear, from this betrayal, from this depression of this man, that all of a sudden, in verse 3, it moves and says, but you, Lord, you are my shield. How does he know? And when I think and sat on this verse, how does David know that God is a shield? If you go to the reference in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 and 36, he's actually when this giant Goliath is, and David is talking to Saul, and he says, look, there was one time I was a shepherd, and this lion and this bear came, and I went and killed this lion and the bear, and then I caught it by his head, and I threw it, and I killed it, and they're gone. So this Goliath, he's nothing against me. So he knows that God protected me in the past. This is the same God that protected me from the lion, from the bear, from the Philistine. Now he knows that he is my shield. In fact, this very king, he's worried about his glory, which means he's worried about his reputation. You know, there'll be times in our life when people will not talk to you, but they will talk about you. And those are the voices sometimes you hear, but I think the answer here is David is clearly telling us this. I know who my God is. He's the one who's going to protect me from this situation. He's the one who will lift my head high because my dignity doesn't belong to what other, my dignity relies on him. In Psalms 121, it says, I lift up my head to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So we know that before this verse, his head wasn't high. He was deep down. His head was low, filled with fear, filled with depression, filled with betrayal. But he makes a choice. When we come across the situations like this, we all have a choice to make. The choice is that he calls on the Lord. He knows that when he calls on the Lord, he will answer me. That's what verse 4 it says. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. What a powerful verse is that. During this time of crying, he calls to the Lord, and who answers? He knows that God's going to answer me. Again, remember, there's many. When there are many against you, you can call to the one. When there are many that are talking about you, we know that you can call to the one. We know that when there are many, they don't trust you, but you can trust the one. He calls on the one, and he says, God's going to answer me now. I know that that there are enemies still around me. Yeah, they're still around me, but I'm going to call him. I know the answer is he hasn't given me the answer yet, but I will still call on him because I know what's happened in the past for me. God has done for me. And so verse 5, as we move to verse 5, it says, I lie down and sleep, and I wake up because the Lord sustains me. How does one lie down? I don't understand. When situations are tough, I don't think I can sleep. I don't know about you, but before I came to New Zealand, I was in a stressful time applying for visa. And I was like, I don't think I can sleep. Until every day I will check my emails. Every day I will check approval, no response. Refresh, 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 no response. You know, you're waiting and you're waiting. I can't sleep. But how does David sleep? I have a really good friend who we used to live in Palmy here. They both are well-qualified people, and they just went to Ethiopia for a missionary trip. And literally for the last 3 years, we are in contact in WhatsApp. And every day he would say civil war. Every day there's just this war here, there's bombings. And then so he came last year to just spend time in New Zealand with friends and talk to us. And I said, how do you sleep? How do you sleep at night? Like literally, I see your message. There is civil war. There's bombings right next to our house. And this is his response. He says, Sam, we don't know. We might go to bed. We don't know if we're going to get up in the morning or not, but we trust in God. Me and my kids, I don't know, we go home, we leave in our car, we go and try to walk in this place, and they minister among this hard-out Muslim community. They don't know really a lot of English, they only speak in the Ethiopian language, they've learned it, and they're trying to reach out. And I said, how do you sleep? Same here. How does David sleep? Because he trusts, he relies on God. And that's powerful, is that when we trust and rely on God, we can have a good sleep at night. And if you look at verse 6, it says, I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. How? How did it change? Three verses before, he says, I'm scared. All these enemies around me. How does it change? Within just three verses, it goes from fear to I will not fear. I think change happens always from within before it happens with outside. It's inside it happens. And he says, I still feel fearful inside. I still feel betrayed, but I can trust in the promise of the one. And because of that, I will not fear. So because he's not fearful anymore, now he makes an action. He says, rise, Lord. Now it's you. Now it's your job. Now you arise and you deliver me now. Now it's you have to save me from this situation. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Why does he ask them to break their teeth? I'm like, why? What's specific about the teeth? Because if you have no teeth, we can't hear your voice. You can't talk back to me. Do you remember the first verse he says? He says, I can hear them telling me. God's not going to save you. He's not going to save you, that voices. So instead of him, remember, he's still a king. Hello, he's still a king. He could have got an army and come and destroyed all of them. But he says, God, I'm not for all for violence. I'm not going to ask, come and strike. But God, you look after them. So at the moment, the human nature for us is to retaliate. Whenever someone's hurt us, what do? We need to go and strike back. You know, it's a parenting journey for us with our kids. The sibling rivalry, even this morning, it started at 6:30. and it finishes at probably 8 o'clock at night. It's a constant journey for us to teach them is do not retaliate. Don't hurt back. Don't hurt back. How about us as adults? How is it okay that we teach our kids not to hurt them back, but we can go and hurt other people? It's the same thing. So here, David is saying, God, I'm not going to go and kill them all. I will leave it for you to do it. You know, a lot of us, when we get hurt, I've seen this happen either in other people's lives, is they go and put it on social media because they're hurt. They send this passive-aggressive text. You know, stuff like this happens. And instead of us taking revenge, the answer is let God look after them. Let God deal with it. So what literally you're doing is, I'm going to stop violence. I'm going to ask God to deal with the rest. And then he finishes with this beautiful verse. He says, from the Lord comes deliverance. From the Lord comes. What is he really saying is that my real help, it comes from above. My real salvation, my healing, my deliverance, it comes from God. And then he finishes with this beautiful line. He said, may your blessing be on your people. How beautiful. He starts with this cry out, and then he finishes with this blessing. May your blessing be on your people. And as I read through this whole Psalms, even as I was preparing, I didn't even know that Psalm 3 was related to Psalms 1 and 2. And there is such this beautiful picture. You and me know, if you've been Christian for a while, you and me know that King David, in many ways, was a forerunner of Jesus Christ himself. We see many parallels of King David with Christ. They conspired against him, the same way they conspired against David. They mocked him. They falsely accused him. Notice this picture when they nailed Jesus on the cross, what did people tell him? If you were the Son of God, you can come down and save yourself. Did Jesus call the angels? He could have. He didn't do it. He left it for, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So as I finish, what can I learn from the Psalms? What does it teach me? Is that when stuff doesn't go your way, you feel betrayed, you feel hurt, you know the expectations are not being met, the doctor's report is not what I expected. When it seems like you're failing, the answer is, let's be real with God. And the second thing is, let's not retaliate and push for vengeance. The world wants you to revenge, tit for tat. They want you to, hurt them back. But rather, let God do the justice. And then the last couple of points is that God desires and he wants us to invite him. Even in this greatest sorrow, in the most desperate cry for us, he says, I want to journey with you. And that's the most powerful thing we have. I don't know how people who don't belong to God, how do they live? I sometimes think, how do they live? They go through these tough times. They only have their family and friends, but we have an almighty God. And in fact, he warns us. He says, call me, and I want to hold your hand and walk with you through these tough times, through your grief, through your pain, through your sorrow. You feel betrayed? I want to walk with you in this journey. And then the last thing what I've written is that these challenges and pain are normal. Let's accept them. And you know what? Eventually, they will make them the man, the daughter, the son, the woman that God has called us to be. It's like what Louis Armstrong said. He said, may the Christ in me see the Christ in you. So as we close our eyes, I want us to do something before we finish. As the worship team comes in, maybe let's just sit down for a moment. And I really don't want to think about the grief and the pain that if you're going through right now, you know, that might trigger something. But I know many of us here have gone through such pain, have gone through grief and betrayal, and some of us might in the future go through that. Heads might be down. And you know, as you stand up, as I finish praying, I want us to stand up and it's an action of faith I want us to do. That as we bow our heads right now, you know, we are in this state as David is. But as we stand up, once I finish praying, let's just lift up our heads. It's declaring that I'm actioning something right now, God. That I feel hurt, I feel deep pain. But I know that you are the one who will lift my head high, like David says. Father, I invite your Holy Spirit right now. We live in a broken world, but we are broken people. But as David says in Psalms 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Come, Holy Spirit, as you minister to us right now, I pray for healing. Where there is pain, where there is grief, where there is sorrow. You only know the cries of the people here right now. They may be putting on a good face, but deep within, there is such an anguish in their heart. As they stand up, let it be a declaration of faith. That God, you will deliver us. That God, you will answer us. That as we lift up our heads, as we lift up our heads to you, to where the help comes from, Lord, you are the one who brings healing. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that many, but we can turn to the one. Let me receive your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up as we lift up our heads and worship.